chapter 3, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 3:13. If you would go ahead and stand, that'd be a blessing. And we're going to try and answer the rest of these objections here as we're talking about our conversation. What do we say when we go? Witnessing by our conversation. All right, so find your place there, then go ahead and stand. 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you do need a sheet, go ahead and raise your hand. Our brother Gary's coming around. He'll get you one.
And those sheets are yours to keep, so you can mark those up. Mark them up any way you feel. And 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verse number 13, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm down. Amen. By the way, did everybody get your DVD copy? Make sure we got one for family. Once everybody has theirs, there's some extras there. If you'd like to have one for somebody else, please help yourself after next week. We'll make sure everybody gets one, though, first of all. And that would be a blessing. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 3.
Turning myself on, Sam. Amen. Everybody at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 except me. Anybody at 1 Peter chapter 3? Wow, that's weak. Oh, come on, y'all got to wake up on that. Amen, that's better, that's better. At least we've got a holy grunt. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. We're going to read all the way down to verse number 16. So 13 through 16. So let's read together. Here we go. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen. That needs to be our testimony as we go out. 1 Peter, of course, was written to a group of Christians that were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. And Peter said, you know, you need to stand fast, stand tall, and continue to give a good witness, and be ready to give an answer when they ask you of that reason of a hope that's in you. When they try to persecute you, say, hey, look, you know, you can persecute me all you want to, but you cannot stop Christ in me. Amen. And so we've got to be willing and able to give an answer to folks. And that's what we're talking about now as we knock on doors and they begin to give you some objections. You can be equipped to give them what the Bible says. Amen. And that's what we're going to try and finish that out tonight. Father, now speak to our hearts and give us the encouragement that we need from your word. And Lord, help us to be better equipped as soul winners to not just knock on doors, Lord, but talk to friends and family and coworkers as well, giving them an answer of the hope that's in us, Lord, with meekness and fear. Help us not to be prideful about it in any way, shape, fashion, or form, but confident that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, minister in us, minister through us, Lord. The Holy Spirit must do this work tonight. We cannot do it on our own. So speak to us now by your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, last time, dealing with the objections here, we left off on I'm too great a sinner on page 5, which means I'm too bad. And did everybody get a copy that needs one? Everybody's got a copy? Okay, I want to make sure everybody's got one. So we left off on that one, and I gave you Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But look at number 15, verse 15, if you would, again. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And then go back up to verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. We've got to be happy in the fact that people are persecuting us for doing right and not wrong. Now, if I get persecuted for doing wrong, then I get what I deserve. But if I'm suffering for Jesus' sake, that's a good thing because that's what God wants us to do. And he says, happy are ye. But then he says in verse 15, but if you're going to suffer and if you're going to be happy, if you're not going to be afraid, according to verse 14, then you need to sanctify the Lord God in your heart or separate God in your heart. Have a place for God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer. In other words, give a defense of what God has done in your life and what you're standing for. And if they ask you of a reason or a defense or a defending of your faith, then you can give that to them with hope. By the way, do we have the truth? Yes, we do. Do we have the gospel? Yes, we do. Do we have our hold on heaven? Yes, we do. Are we hell proof? Yes, we are. Amen. Do we have the Holy Spirit's power? Yes, we do. So can we do this? Yes, we can. And so that's what we're trying to equip you with now, is to have that. Amen. And verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Amen. So let's look at this sheet again here. The one question that we left off on is, I am too great a sinner, or I'm too bad. And the answer, Jesus came to save sinners. He will save anyone who comes to him. The Apostle Paul said, this is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. But let's go to another verse here, John 6:37, because we want to be able to give a defense or an answer. John 6:37. Again, these are different verses that you can utilize that do basically the same thing. John 6:37. And let me get someone to read that as well. John 6:37. Jeremiah, go ahead. Amen. So a person says, you know what, I'm too bad, or I'm too great a sinner. You can go to this verse here. Jesus said, you know, whoever comes to the Father, all that comes to the Father and shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what you can do is say, you know what, if you come to Jesus, a humble, repentant, he is not going to cast you out. That's Jesus's promise there, that he would not cast you out. Amen. And here's another one as well, not just John 6:37, but Hebrews 7:25 is another good one. Go over to Hebrews 7:25. And again, this is if someone says, I'm too bad, or I'm too great a sinner, or Jesus can't save me, or whatever the case may be. By the way, is it too warm in here? Because we didn't put the temperatures down to 73. We normally did. Some folks were saying it was freezing. Is that 75? Is that too hot for everybody? Is it comfortable? You might need to turn the fans up. If it gets too hot in the back section, Kenny, turn the fans up, because your fans back there are down low, because folks said it was too cold. So if it does get a little hot, raise your hand, Pastor, where I can turn the fans up some. Hebrews 7, and who's got that one? Verse 25, can read that. Kenny, go ahead.
Wherefore he is able also to save him to the uttermost unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for
him. Amen. Notice that. He's able to save them to the uttermost. The word uttermost means completely. He's able to save completely. So if someone says, I'm too bad, or, you know, there's no hope for me, or, you know, you don't know what I've done, you say, you know what, I don't know what you've done, but God does. And he said he would save you. Amen. By the way, is there a sin? We said this before. Is there a sin that Jesus can't forgive? No. The only sin he can't forgive, the one you don't give him. Amen. Now, if you come to him humble and repentant and you ask him to save you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to save you. Amen. So those are some verses that you can give when someone says, I'm too great a sinner. Let's go down to the next one. I'm doing the best I can, because some folks, they won't say it in words, but they will say it in what information they give you. Notice what it says. I'm doing the best I can. We are not saved by our good works, but through faith in Christ. Of course, the famous Ephesians 2:8-9 is, therefore, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let me give you a couple other verses here. Someone says, I'm doing the best I can. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. By the way, is it about doing the best that I can? Did Jesus ever ask us to do the best that we could when it came to being saved? No, he never told us to do the best you can. Why? It's impossible. Our best is not good enough. So if someone says, you know, I'm doing the best I can, Jesus never asked us to do our best. Who in the Bible did he say, do the best you can to save yourself? Think about it. Who did he ever tell that to? Nobody. So if a person says, I'm doing the best I can, you say, Jesus never asked you to do your best. He asked you to let him do it all. What did he say on the cross? It is what? And it's finished. He didn't say, you know, it's finished, but you need to add something to it. Who's got Romans 3:19? Read 19 and 20. Stephanie?
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall not no flesh be justified. his sight, or by the law, the knowledge of sin.
Amen. So in other words, what he's saying is, if you try to say you're keeping God's commandments or keeping the law, you're going to fail because you can't keep it all the time, every time. All of us, when we were about Hakoda's age, a little bit older, failed in that one. When mom said, come here, and we started walking, and we went the other way. Amen. He's going to do that one of these days, sister, unfortunately. She's going to say, come here, little Hakoda. He's going to say, he's going to turn around and go the opposite way. What is that? Rebellion? Disobedience? So we all have done it at some time. And so the law is there so that we don't try to measure up, but we fall on God's mercy and God's grace. And so those verses right there depict that very, very vividly. Notice verse number 28 in that same area. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how can that verse be true? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How can I be justified by faith without the deeds of the law? How can I push the law to the side and be justified by faith? Through Christ. Did Christ keep the law? Yes, every letter of the law he kept. And so he went to the cross to be our sacrifice. He kept the law. He was everything that we are not so that we can go through him. Amen. Go over to this verse here now, Titus 3:5. Most of us know this one anyway, but this is another good one in case you've never gone there. Titus 3:5. And that's the one that says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So a person says, I'm doing the best I can. That is considered a work. Who's got Titus 3:5? Read that one for me. Let's get Brother Hall. We get you Jeremiah in a minute. Amen. So it's not by works which we have done. Again, if we do anything to try and attain it, and we say I'm doing the best I can, then the onus is back on me, and I cannot do it. The Bible clearly says it's not by works of righteousness. So if, as you're witnessing to someone and you're talking to them and they're trying to give you all their credentials about what they're trying to do, just let them know it's not by works. It's already done. It's finished. You don't have to do a thing. So stop trying because you don't have to try. Amen. One of the things that got me when I was coming to Christ early on, I thought if God wants people to be saved, it should be easy. Would you agree with me? If it's hard, then that means somebody's not going to be able to do it. Am I right? Now, if it's easy, then that means it's easy for a child, and it's easy for an adult, and it's easy for a senior. It's easy for a blind person. It's easy for someone that's mentally challenged. You talk to Brother Jeff and ask Jeff how he got saved. You know what Jeff will say? I was with Fred, and I read that verse. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I say, what happened, Jeff? I got saved. Hey, Jeff is a little bit challenged, but guess what? Jeff will tell you, I got saved. So it's got to be simple. It's got to be easy for everybody. It's not about doing the best we can. It's about falling on the grace of God and the mercy of God. And so this verse says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, God was merciful to us. He saved us. So as you're challenging people with that, doing the best they can, you can let them know that. Another one is Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16. Again, these are some verses that you really can be familiar with. And use these verses at will on a person. Galatians 2:16. Jeremiah, you got that one? Amen. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, why are we talking so much about the law? Because if a person is going to try to be right with God and do the best they can, they got to have a measuring stick. And most people's measuring stick is, I kept the Ten Commandments. And what would they normally say? I've been good. I read my Bible. I gave to the church. I did this, I did that. And so they're always going to have some kind of measuring stick. If I'm going to attain heaven, there's got to be a measuring stick and there's got to be some things that I can do. And the Bible is clear here is that knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So I don't have to work because I can be justified through Christ. And so as you're talking to somebody, let them know it's not about keeping the law. It's about receiving Christ by grace through faith. Amen. So that's another one that you could give them, Galatians 2:16. Let's go down to the next one here. I think one way is as good as another, so long as they are sincere. By the way, is the religious way just one religious way just as good as the next? Yes, because they're all fail. There is no religion that, by the way, which religion saves? Does the Baptist faith save? No. Being a Baptist doesn't make somebody saved. There are a lot of unsaved Baptist folk, amen? And by the way, there are some saved Catholic folk. You say, oh, there are? Yeah, there are. There's some saved Presbyterians. There's some saved Anglicans. There's some saved AME, African Methodist Episcopals. There's some saved a little bit of everybody. That's why the church, when we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked to see who's there. But you're also going to be shocked to see who's not there. Some of the folk that you thought was going to be there ain't going to be there. You're going to say, well, where's Bob? Where's Bill? Where's Martha? Where's Jane? Where's Jan? You know, well, where they at? They obviously, they wasn't saved. But then you're going to say, ho, how'd you get here? They say the same way you got here, by faith. And you look at one of your coworkers, you think they ain't no hope for the Pope. They ain't going to get saved. And guess what? They might be there. And they say, well, you know what? That tract you gave me, I went and got saved. I just didn't tell you about it. By the way, can I be a closet Christian? Yeah, I can. Can I be a secret disciple? Yeah, it's not biblical, but you can. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. When came time for him to speak up in later chapters, he spoke up. But guess what? He still didn't come out the closet all the way. Was he saved? Yeah, he was. So not everybody that you think is going to be there is going to be there. So when you look at this, I think one way is just as good as another. Notice the answer. You may be sincere, but you may be sincerely wrong. That's true. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus is the only, Jesus is the Savior, the only Savior. We cannot come to God except by him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice that. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is there any other way to the Father? No. How do we know that? What was the great bridge that gap between us and God? The cross. Now, why was that cross there? Huh? Ah, sin. The cross was there because of sin. And so somebody had to bridge that gap to get us to God. Who in history bridged that gap and said they were God and said they were going to die for the sins of the world and actually died for the sins of the world, who was buried, who rose again? Who in history has said that other than Jesus Christ? Nobody. And so Jesus can make that claim. He can make that statement. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, because he said, I went to the cross to buy this. I redeemed this. No one else has said that. So there's the proof right there. So Jesus is absolutely correct. Acts 4:12 is another verse that you can use with this one as well. Acts 4:12. If you're in Galatians, go back to Acts chapter 4. One of the early verses that the apostles used, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Who's got that one? Acts 4:12. You read that one. Go ahead, Gloria. Amen. Notice it says there, neither is there salvation in any other. Then he says at the end, whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. Now, you can go with a whole lot of good names. Muhammad, Confucius. There's a whole lot of good men out there. And we're not taking away anything away from their goodness. But they're not righteous. So although they may be good men, great men, have done great things, they aren't the Son of God and they're not sinless. And so therefore, they're not a good sacrifice. And on top of that, they're still in the grave. Amen. Jesus is not. And so the Bible says, neither is there salvation. Now, when that was said, notice verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they said, they ain't got a clue. They marveled and took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. Amen. So that's a great verse. John 3:3. Let's go over there and look at that one real quick, too. You're in Acts. Go back there. John 3:3. John 3:3. And here again, Jesus calls Nicodemus on the carpet. John 3:3. Who's got that one? John 3:3. Go ahead, Carling. Amen. Jesus used two words there, except and cannot. He said, except a man be born again. He said, you know, unless you're born again, you cannot see. There's no way you can see the kingdom of God. Now, how can Jesus say that? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And to Nicodemus, who's a ruler of the Jews, how can he say that? Because it's true. Except the man be born again. He said, you're born once physically, but you got to be born again spiritually. So as you're talking to someone and you're letting them know, hey, I think one way is just as good as another. Hey, I don't care if you're sincere. You're going to be sincerely wrong. By the way, what's behind an idol? Nothing. A demon. But can an idol respond to me? No. Can the stone respond? No. But Jesus can. And so Jesus can say, except the man be born again. So as you're getting them to that point, one way is as good as another. You say, religiously speaking, that's true. But Jesus is different. Amen. Come down to the next one. Maybe later or not now. Answer, it is dangerous to put off so important a matter. And by the way, can you make someone get saved? No. Can you pressure them so much that they make a false statement, a false profession? Yes. So be very careful. Don't. Back them into a corner, so to speak, and say, if you die right now, where are you going to go? To hell. You want to go to hell? Well, no, I don't want to go to hell. Well, you need to pray right now. Look at them flyers. Look at them flames. Getting you right now, ain't it? Yes, yes, yes. Well, get saved right now. Oh, Lord, please save me. That's not salvation. You can't. If they're not drawn by the Spirit's power, there is no drawing power. You've got to give them the word of God and let the Spirit of God work on that. If you put them in a corner and give them this Hoover vacuum cleaner salesman type of scriptural salvation, they're not going to get saved. And the evidence will be in itself. They won't have a desire. They won't ever grow. They won't want to come to the house of God. They won't have anything to do with Christianity because you forced a decision on them and they really don't want to see you again. So be careful with that. Not now, maybe later. Notice what it says, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so you want to make sure that you let them know the gravity and the seriousness of their decision, but you've always got to back up and say, you know what, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. You can go and say, do you know that if you died right now, you'd go to hell? They consent. Yes, I know that. Do you know the dangers of going to hell? Do you know that's eternal? Yes, I do. Do you know that Jesus is waiting to save you? Yes, I do. Do you know if you just call on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, you can be saved? Yes, I know that. Well, then, sir, ma'am, the decision is yours. I have nothing to do with that. You've given them everything that you can. The Spirit of God doesn't convict them to the point where they're convinced that they need to get saved and they will die without Jesus Christ and they will go to a place called hell. You can't convince them of that. When I got saved, there was no word that Brother Dunn could give me to convince me. He kept giving me the Bible, the Word of God, and the Bible, coupled with the Spirit of God, began to work on my heart until it got me to a point and a place where I said, look, I need to get saved. I'm in trouble. Woe is me. There was nothing that he said. It was all the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that just rested on me and said, look, son, you're not going to make it. You need to do something about this right now. If you don't turn, buddy, you will surely burn. Bert had nothing to do with that. That was all the Spirit. And guess what? When it came to that point, I had to get saved. I was not leaving that church until I got saved. If I had to stay till midnight, I was not leaving. But guess what? I got saved. And God worked in my heart. Show you another verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And if you got saved, the same thing happened to you. You said, I can't. I got to do something about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Who can read that for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Brother Duffy.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen. Again, a person says, not now, maybe later. You can give them this verse. Now, again, you cannot make them get saved by no means at all. But you can bring this to their remembrance. This is a reality. When I'm witnessing to people, I will try to draw from things in the news. And I will say, you remember this guy who was in this crash the other day? Do you think he planned to die at that particular time? No. And I'll say, well, you know, what about this particular individual over here? Do you think they were prepared to die over here? Or what about that man that got murdered or got hit by the car or whatever? Do you think they were prepared to die? And as they say, no, 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 I say, well, are you prepared to die? Now, am I trying to scare them? No, I'm bringing them to reality. I'm bringing them to reality. Yes, Teresa? 2 Corinthians 6:2. So what I'm doing now is bringing them to reality. They have just watched the news about impersonal people that they do not know. But they themselves and their own family may have someone that just passed recently. Some were prepared to go and others were not. And the reality is that we don't know when we're going to die. And so the encouragement that I want to give them is that because you don't know, there is something we do know. We do know that if you don't get saved, that's where you will go. We do know that you're alive right now and you can make a choice for Christ. We do know that. We do know that if you make a choice for Christ, he will save you. We do know that. What we don't know is when you're going to die. That's one thing we don't know. That's the variable there that we don't know. So the wise thing would be is to look at this verse. And this verse says, he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted. Now's a good time. And in the day of salvation, if I succored thee, succored means to aid or help or relieve. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So then you can point them to this verse, letting them know, you know, I don't know what you're waiting for, but there's no better time than the present. And, you know, depending upon the answer they give, you know, there's something that you want to deal with them on that about. I'll give you another verse to go along with that. Hebrews 3:15. Hebrews 3:15, which says, let's see, get somebody over. Hebrews 3:15. Who's got that one? Basically, it's going to be along the same lines. 3:15. Kenny, go ahead and read that. Amen. Harden not your hearts in the provocation. What does provocation mean? To provoke. He said, don't be like the children of Israel who provoke God with their hard hearts. They continue to rebel against God and they provoke God. He said, don't be like that. Don't harden your heart. Don't provoke God. Get a soft heart and hear his voice. So when you look at what happens here, and I mean, you could even read the rest of that verse. It says, for some, when they had, verse 16, heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned and whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That's not a good thing. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. So, hey, I'm going to die at some time. The question is, when am I going to die? And this is one of the most famous parables that Jesus gave, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Again, these are verses that you can utilize to help with objections that someone may raise. Luke 12, and look at verse number 19. Of course, this is the guy that bought the ground. It was plentiful. He got all these fruits and all these things. He's going to put these things away. And notice verse 18, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou what? Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So in other words, he said, you know what, you're doing all these other things, but you've not made provisions for your soul. You've got a place for your fruits. You've made these barns for your fruits, but you made no place for your soul. And because you didn't make a place for your soul, there is a place for your soul. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So he said, look, you know, you got all these barns and you built greater. You got all your fruits and your goods. You put all that stuff away. But when it came down for your soul, you didn't make a provision for your soul. And so Jesus gave that parable there. So when it comes down to this, maybe later, but not now. Again, you give that to them. You give it to them in love. You're not trying to scare them. You're not trying to bully them over. You're just letting them know this is a reality. How many people do we know that got their portfolio together? They got their 401k together. They got their retirement together. And Pastor White can tell you there's plenty of guys that retired from the military. As soon as they retired, they died just like that. I got my retirement. I'm going to sit back. And they sit back and they die. So now where's all that retirement going? Uncle Sam just going to keep it. Amen. Again, we're not trying to be mean to them or scary to them, but real. This is real. This is reality. And so a verse like that could really help them out when they say not now. And then that last one down there, I don't want to give up my sins. And that plays right along with what we just read here in Luke chapter 12. This guy doesn't want to give up his stuff. Notice what it says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The answer, then will you be lost forever? You could also use 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When it comes to, I don't want to give up my sins. By the way, if a person doesn't want to give up their sins, can they be saved? Why not? They didn't repent. What did Jesus die for? Sin. So how can I call myself getting saved if I don't want to give up my sin? How can I turn from sin? I call myself turning from sin because repentance is turning 180 degrees. How can I have my sin and turn with my sin to Jesus and call myself repenting if I still got my sins? I can't. So if I don't want to give up my sins, I can't get saved. Now, am I saying I'm going to be sinless? No. Am I saying I'm going to be perfect? No. But what I'm saying is I'm going to turn the best way I know how to God in faith, repenting of my sin. Now, I don't know about you, but when I had a bunch of alcohol at home, I was cursing like a sailor. I mean, I had so many sins and I was confronted with my sins and with the Savior. And I thought, man, I don't know if I can stop sinning. And I got all this alcohol at home. What am I going to do with all that? I don't know. You know, and I really debated with that. I mean, I struggled with that. I said, man, I don't know what to do. You know, I have good money invested in this sin over here. But over there is Jesus. But if I stay over here, I'm going to hell. And I don't want to go to hell. But I got Jesus. I mean, I got to give up this stuff. You know what I said in my heart? I said, Lord, I don't know about this stuff. And I don't even know if I can give all this stuff up. But I know one thing. I don't want to go to hell. And Lord, the best way I know how, I'm coming to you. I turned my back on that stuff the best way I know how. And little by little, God began to drop that stuff off. Why? Because I had repented. I turned from it and said, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this stuff. I don't know if I can handle not having this stuff. I don't know if I could see another day and not drink. I drank every single solitary day. And most days, I drunk to the point where I passed out. And Devin, I was still in the military. I mean, as soon as I got off work, I hit the bottle. I had it in my locker. I had it in my car. I had liquor in my trunk. I had liquor in the garage. I had liquor everywhere. And I couldn't fathom not drinking anymore. But I knew if I got saved, I wasn't supposed to. And I said, look, man, I don't know about that. I was what you would call a working alcoholic or a social alcoholic? Was it functional? I could function. I mean, I could oil them down with the best of them and wake up the next morning and go to work. Now, I smelled like a distillery when I went. And everybody could see me, so I'd have to talk to people from a distance. Hey, brother, how you doing? Why don't you shake my hand? Or do one of those, hey, how you doing? I don't want nobody to smell my liquor or my breath because I've been drinking since 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I didn't really understand all of what it involved, but I knew one thing, that I got to turn, and I got to turn to Jesus. And I did. And so a person that doesn't want to give up their sin, they cannot get saved. I cannot stress that enough because Jesus died for sin. Y'all with me on that one? So a person says, I want to give up my sin. You might as well close the Bible up and say, amen. But again, the Spirit of God has got to convict them of their sin, not you. Amen. All right, turn on the other side of this page here. It's going to go over some do's and don'ts. They talk about I don't believe in hell at the top there as well. This does not change the fact of hell. Amen. Someone can say, I don't believe in China. Does that change the fact? Yeah, Fred?
I just had a question going back to the last one. Because it has to do with say they're saved, but they're not going to, you know, what, I mean, I'm not sure what you can tell them, you're just going to pray that God will convict them.
You have to biblically show them verses that condemn that as sin. If you can give them verses and give them, okay, this is why that's sin, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. But if it's just me telling them that sin, is not going to help. I've got to give them biblical scriptures that condemn that lifestyle. And there's quite a few. You know, and they can say that they're, you know, they believe God all they want to, and they may be ignorant to the fact of what the Bible says. And that's why I've got to give them what the Bible says. Now, I don't belittle them because they're still a person. They're just as much a person as an alcoholic or a whoremonger or whatever. So they're just as deluded. And they've got to know that that sin is still under condemnation and it will be judged. But without the Bible and giving them the scriptural evidence, they're going to say, I'm okay. You know, God's okay with that. And so I've got to show them where God is not okay with that. I mean, he wasn't okay with it in the Old Testament or the New.
It's just the total. See, I agree with both. Unfortunately, there's so many twisting scriptures.
I was going to say, the danger with that is there are a lot of churches that propagate that gay and lesbian lifestyle is okay. And they use the Bible. I know one guy, Kenny, we laid some door hangers on his door, and so he sent me some homosexual paraphernalia. He said, since you laid a track on my door, I'll give you some. He gave me some homosexual, and he used verses from the Bible to try to prove that David was a homosexual, Paul was a homosexual, and God was okay with that. And I'm thinking, you have just got all these verses out of context. And he has a printing press to get that stuff out, too. And I thought, man, he's got greeting cards for homosexuals, wedding cards for homosexuals. He gave me his whole list. And he said, you know, if you want to buy some of these, I'll burn some of them, man. I ain't going to buy nothing. And that's the downside with that. You do have so many people that are out there twisting the scriptures, or as Paul would say, Peter said, resting the scriptures. And that's not a good thing. And so like Fred said, you're going to have those people. Don't argue with them. Don't get into a fuss with them. Let God speak for himself. If they want to stay that way, there's nothing you can do about it. Just give them the gospel, amen. Any other questions on that along those lines? Let's go down some of these objections it has here. Some do's and don'ts when you go and try to win a soul to Christ. Do always use your Bible when leading people to Christ. Now, by the way, I know we live in the computer age, but still use your Bible. Use your Bible. Open your New Testament up. I mean, they may have their phone or whatever, but use your Bible. You know, we still want to show them in the scriptures the Bible, because it may happen, their phone may go out. Then what you going to do? So use your Bible. Even though it says you may be able to quote the verses, better let the other person read it for himself. Why? Why is it good for a person to read the Bible themselves? You say, Carol?
See for themselves.
And it also sticks. When you read it, it sticks. It sticks a little bit better. Notice it says, don't use too many verses. So when you use verses, don't use too many. Do look to God in prayer for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So do pray and say, Holy Spirit, what do I do next? What do I say next? What area? Where do you want me to go next in the scriptures? How should I approach this person? What should I say next? Should I back up? Should I become a little bit more bold? Don't interrupt people. Try to find out their problem, but don't get sidetracked either. Keep bringing them back to the matter of their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will try to get you all over the place. Amen, Aaron? They tried to get you, who wrote the Bible, and, you know, why the Bible's not read right, and what about the people in China, and what about the people in Africa, and those may be legitimately good questions, but we say we're not talking about them right now, we're talking about you. The most important thing is if you die right now, your soul is hanging in the balance, and we'll talk about those things later on. Did Adam have a belly button? We'll talk about that later, you know. You got one, I got one. Let's just discuss that, okay? And keep them on track, because they will try to, and it's not them. Please get this. It's not them. It's the devil working through them. The demon's trying to get them off track, because the demon, they don't want them to get saved. Because they get saved, another soldier for the cross. So don't blame it on them. It's not them. Do be earnest, it says. This is no time for joking. Soul winning is serious business. Now, that doesn't mean don't be yourself and don't be like Lurch. No, don't be that. You know, be yourself. But he's saying it's not a time for foolishness, but be yourself. Now, if you're a natural joker, that's fine. If you just be who you are in Christ and let the Holy Spirit work with you. I pick and joke with people all the time. It's in my nature to do so. But if it's not in your nature, don't do it. Let the Holy Spirit use you for who you are. It says, do be earnest. Don't argue. God has not sent us out to win arguments. He sent us out to win souls. Amen. Good. I like that. Do be careful of your breath, amen? Have a pocket full of breaths or breath mints. Make sure your partner's got some as well. Don't offend people needlessly if you don't have to, amen? Do admit when you don't know the answer to a question. Just say, I don't know the answer to that question, but I am sure there must be one. One thing I do know, Jesus Christ changed my life, and he will do the same for you. You bring him right back to the main issue. I don't know the answer to that question, but I know the answer about how you can get to heaven. I know that one. And by the way, I'll research that, and I'll get you an answer back. But in the meantime, what about your soul? Where are you going? You know, and you stick with that. Do value every person highly. We must see every person as one for whom Christ died. If we look down on or despise any person, we are not worthy to be Christ's servants. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Some will reject the Savior. By the way, more will reject than will receive. Just count it up. You may talk to 100 people. Out of that 100 people, most of them are probably going to reject your message. This is a fact of the matter. And so don't get discouraged. Keep right on witnessing for Christ. Do be concerned. Jesus wept and prayed over souls, and so should we. At the top of that page there, do encourage new converts to confess Christ to others and join a Bible-believing church. So when people get saved, encourage them when they get saved to go tell somebody else what just happened to them. Why do we do that? What good does it do them to tell somebody else? As soon as they get saved, why should they tell somebody else? Helps establish testimony. What else does it do? What's that? Grow the Christian. Amen. What else? Accountability. What else? Jeremiah? They won't get what? They won't get discouraged, possibly. Amen. Yeah, Fred? They might not go back. Amen. And do we share good news? Yeah, yeah. If this is good news, then share it. Yes, Ms. Dawson? You shall be a witness. Amen. Now, my wife and I got saved February 3rd, 1991, in the afternoon. Nobody had to tell us to go share it with somebody. We wanted to share it. Carlene, didn't you want to share it with somebody? Amen. Right off the bat, my wife and I said, let's call somebody. Man, we feel good about this thing. We got to tell somebody about that. We got to tell somebody. We thought that it was bragging. And so we didn't really want to tell anybody. We thought, you know, folks can think, you know, we bragging. You know, like we better than them or something because we got saved. And so we figured to save people, we called our parents. We called our parents, told them we got saved. But we didn't really, we were like, is it bragging? But I went back to work next Monday. I told everybody. And they looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, now you left here Friday going to the club. And I did go to the club Friday. And you left on Saturday and went drinking again. And I did go drinking on Saturday. And you're going to tell me you went to church on Sunday and got saved. I did go to church and get saved on Sunday. Right. But in time, they knew that I was for real. Amen. So those are some things you got there. Overcome your fears. Go ahead and read the rest of that when you get some time. But this will help you with answering objections when they do come up. And when you do speak to people about Christ, and I hope it will be a blessing to you and relieve some of your fears and give you a little bit more ammunition. Next week, we got some more things we're going to hand out to you just to help you out a little bit more to find your way along the witness trail on how to be a more effective witness for Christ, because we want to get the word out and we don't want to be stymied when people ask us a question. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we can really tell them from the Bible what the Bible has to say. Are we going to know all the answers? No, you're not going to have all the answers. The only answer I had the first day I got saved was I got saved. If they asked me, did Adam have a belly button? I don't know. I got one. I got saved. Well, who wrote the Bible? I don't know, but I got saved. You know, where's Jesus at now? I don't know, but I got saved. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew I got saved. And nobody could take that away from me. I told everybody I could. They said, what about this? What about that? I don't know. Let's go ask the preacher. Of course, they don't want to go ask the preacher. Amen. So be prepared as people ask you of a reason of the hope that's in you to give them that answer. Give it with meekness, give it with fear. Amen. We're going to pray, and then, brother, I'm going to have you hand out a copy of the budget, and we'll go over that. Sister Scott, if you and your daughter want to leave, you can. If you want to stay, you can as well. That's really up to you guys. You know, we'd love for you to stay, but if you want to go, you can go. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the encouragement that we can get from the Word of God. And, Lord, help us to be able to give the answer of the reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. When people ask us, and help us to have that good conscience, Lord, and not fearing what others may say, but Lord, recognizing that you, of all people, have the answer in the Word of God. And Lord, help us be bold witnesses, knowing the Spirit of God and the Scriptures is what's going to get the job done. Help us be vessels yielded for your honor and your glory, letting people know there is a God in heaven that loves them. Their Son's name is Jesus. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried and rose again for them, and they must be saved. Help that message to go across on our lips, Lord, as we knock on doors and share Christ with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. Sister, you guys can be excused. Brother, let's go ahead and be a long meeting because everything is good to go on the budget. I cannot say that for the next one. Ms. Tamara, do we have the old minutes? Okay.